Football is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you are searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or just need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek has plenty of tickets to concerts, comedy, and theater, too. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I have found to shop for tickets. In fact, I used SeatGeek to buy tickets to a game just last week, and it was reliable and easy to use. And best of all, Fantasy Focus baseball listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Someone's at the door. Is that my house or yours?
Yeah, that's my house.
Okay, well, you want to stop the show?
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, August 20th, 2018. I am Eric. He is Tristan. And we have editorial watchdog Leo Howell, producer Anthony Calatayud, and, of course, in absentia, the valuable Kyle Soppy. So valuable that he is somewhere else. Lots to discuss, Tristan. What is there, 6 weeks left? Six full weeks?
Let's see where we're at.
Is it five? No, I think it's six.
No, you're right. It's six more weeks.
Six more weeks. A lot's going to happen. Obviously, the real-life pennant races are awesome. First place up for grabs in at least three divisions. Why my team couldn't win more games this weekend, I couldn't tell you. But it's hard for Phillies fans to be unhappy. They're still only a half game out of first place. I would have taken that. If they can still be this way in 4 weeks, I'll really be happy.
Your league's races, especially the wild card, are just out of control. Wow.
And that's good for fantasy, right? I mean, because more teams will try.
Well, it's great in the NL-only leagues, but how about the...
Well, the AL, I mean, Houston gave up first place.
I know. The West is all that matters there. Oh, man.
You know, your Yankees, they're probably safe for the wild card game, but, you know, a losing streak, and Seattle can get back into that. So... a lot can still happen in fantasy as well. Although, and we'll get to this, there's a big difference in a player going on the disabled list from a first-place team and one for a last-place team. So that's something to be concerned about. We're a middle, you know, a team that's just out of it. So if you've got Joey Votto or Mike Trout, I want to tell you they're going to come back in a week and play all the games, but I can't do that. And we'll get to that coming up in The Buzz. Well, I didn't want to lead with this, but I guess we're leading with injuries again.
Nice job. You cornered yourself. Come on.
I gave myself. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to
yes,
lead with
positive.
Things other than injuries.
It's a 2 days.
Good week.
Two show positive streak. We love it. Awesome.
The best player in fantasy over the past week easily was Ronald Acuna Jr., who homered every day where he got hit. But
did you look at the spread of his numbers on the last seven? I mean, they're extraordinarily high. It was at nearly three in terms of the point grades for all five categories. I don't think I could remember a player like that.
Well, I mean, obviously the home run streak, that stopped a little while ago, but then he stole a couple bases over the weekend. And they got swept at home, which
yep.
I love. But
it was
good
to see him back.
He
was very
turning into – this is Mike Trout, man. Like, this is the NL Mike Trout next year. I'm wondering just how generous I'm going to rank him. He's already batting .290, scoring runs as a leadoff hitter. He can hit 30 home runs this season. He's at 19 with 6 weeks to go. That's, you know, more than one a week, but he just hit one a day for a week. 10 stolen bases. If he ends up in limited action with, like, 28 home runs and, like, 18 steals, I mean, who are we not going to rank him ahead of? Right. I'm kind of serious here. Like,
no,
isn't he a second-round pick next year now? Second-round pick.
I mean, the dynasty and keeper ranker in me is all on board with that. I mean, and even then, you could start to make the case about a top-10 pick, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like compare him to...
I see your point.
Compare him to Trey Turner.
Right.
Well,
right.
I mean, I want to think of somebody who is more like a 30-homer, 20-steal threat, like Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt at this point is like a 30-homer, 20-steal guy.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather have Acuna? He's a lot younger, more likely to steal bases. I mean, wouldn't you take him over Correa, who I think was like the 12th or 13th pick last season? Wouldn't you take him over all these first base? Wouldn't you take him over Freddie Freeman now? Would you consider, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, who will hit more home runs, but that might be the only category tied, you know, home runs and RBI. I mean, we have a legitimate, you know, 30-30 threat. This is the next Mike Trout.
And I think all of those cases can be made. I do want to see how the rest of the season plays out. And you're right. He does have the potential for 30 homers. He does have the potential for 20 stolen bases at the end of this year. And if he does reach those two thresholds and bats at least the 290 he is right now, I feel like you got to put him ahead of Correa. I feel like the other one you didn't mention was Chris Bryant, who's had a disappointing year and has not quite met the standards for draft stock that we've had for him over the past 2 years. I wonder. I think there is a scenario by which he could get there. I think the worst case scenario, if he has just an ordinary finish, is a top 50 pick, is extraordinary.
It's extraordinary. He's done all this in 72 games, 19 home runs, 10 stolen bases, .290 batting average in 72 games. I would have a hard time not putting him in my top 20.
By the way, he's 15th among players with at least 250 trips to the plate in hard contact rate.
Oh, it's all legit. I mean, I wish he would walk a little bit more, show a little bit more discipline at the plate, but I don't care. I mean, Trout struck out a ton last year. So.
He's improving since the All-Star break, and that was one thing I brought up on Thursday, that he's shown some incremental improvement. There's room for growth in that, which we had said about Trout early in his career, so I like the comp in that regard. I do think that the hard contact rate is what fuels the home runs and the raw power, and that would be the thing that people question based on his minor league numbers. Pretty legit.
All right. The other guys in the top 10 over the past week on the player radar, Amed Rosario, who's stealing bases, leading off, scoring runs. He's looking pretty legit to me. What are you going to project for Rosario next season? I mean, he's got 6 home runs, 14 steals, and he's playing a lot better of late. Now they scored like, 24 runs in one of those games over the weekend.
And but 16 in the other.
He's running. Mm-hmm. So, he looks like a 14 homer, 25 steal guy to me, and that's a value. That's not Trey Turner, but that's a top 50 player too, maybe.
Now I'm a lot more of a pessimist about Amed Rosario than you are.
Because
when you throw the 50 number, I don't think he has a prayer of getting there.
If he steals 30 plus bases, he can be a top 50 player easy. D Gordon went in round 2 this year.
Gordon hits for average, and I don't think Amed Rosario is that natural kind of player. So my problems with Rosario are this, and he's done great lately. The hard contact rate is nothing special. It's beneath 30%, so it's rather ordinary. Ground ball rate is over 50%. He's putting the ball on the ground. It's very difficult to build up power numbers, and it's hard to build up batting average when you're doing what he is doing so far. However, he is showing some signs of growth lately. Now, if he finishes the season solidly, maybe then he makes a case to be a top, let's say, 12 player to his position.
He's 22, Tristan. I mean, he's going to get better. Don't you think?
He's always been a ground ball hitter, though, and I know we don't have the hard contact rates for the minor league ranks. I'd like to see those for him. I don't think his quality of contact is to that level yet. I'm interested.
Okay. Other guys here, but the point is Rosario is rostered in 13.7% of ESPN standard leagues, so he's readily available for anybody to pick up. I picked him up in our office league, in which I somehow lost 10 points over the past week.
What'd you bid on him? I didn't check the final
bids. Not much.
Bids.
$2? $3? I mean,
yeah, I almost put in a bid for him. I was looking at long and hard at him.
I don't know what happened to my team. I was a point behind you, and now I'm like 15 back. Other guys, Justin Turner, Jake DeGrom. Jose Leclerc of Texas is the number one reliever over the past week.
He's awesome.
Yolis Chacin. Todd Frazier's on this list. You don't want him. Miguel Andujar.
Hey, poor Todd Frazier. He played the fun game yesterday.
That was a blast. I loved every minute of that. Looking at watching Phillies and Mets talk to the little leaguers and all the coverage of it, and Big Al. I like hitting dingers. Big Al hits dingers. Well, everybody loves that,
Yes.
Carlos Santana hit a dinger. It was a fun day. I really enjoyed that a lot. They should do it. And they are going to do it every year next year over Pittsburgh and the Cubs. So let's get to some injuries here because they stink. Chris Sale's back on the DL with the shoulder inflammation. Now, I would argue that half the starting pitchers in baseball right now have shoulder inflammation or elbow inflammation of some sort, and none of them are on Boston, so they can't really sit down for a week or so. I mean, Luis Severino might be having shoulder inflammation, but the Yankees don't have any other options. So I still am not worried. I think he probably misses a week or two here, and then he comes back and makes like 3 or 4 starts in September. That's how I'm viewing Chris Sale. I would not try to dump him.
He pitched exceptionally in the game between the two DL stints, which was a very promising sign. And it's a 9.5 game differential between first and second Yankees and Red Sox. That, I think, is playing a lot into Sale. I agree with you. I think that at this point, the Red Sox are going to aim to protect that lead, make sure that it doesn't narrow. And so long as it doesn't, they're only going to get Sale ready for the playoffs. It doesn't mean I'm dropping him. It doesn't mean I dislike him from fantasy terms. It's just I think that explains largely the DL thing.
I do, too. I really don't think this is that big a deal. I hope it's not. I mean, you know, sometimes we're wrong. Joey Votto with the leg contusion, they say a minimum stay is expected. My concern with Votto and Trout, which I'll get to, is those teams aren't going anywhere this season. Why would the Reds even, like, pretend to play Joey Votto? First of all, he's not hitting for any power this season, which tells me, I think, that he's had leg problems because he isn't driving the ball. He isn't hitting it as far. You know, he still has his plate discipline, but the hard contact isn't quite there. Maybe he's had leg issues all season long. So, I mean, maybe he comes back in a week. I wouldn't drop him in any league, but I have some concerns there. And with Trout, I mean, he was supposed to be back days ago. Now they're saying it's before the next homestand with the wrist injury, but why would the Angels risk anything here? It doesn't make any sense. So, again, you don't move on from these guys in fantasy, but you know, you have to prepare just in case. Like, you can't activate either of these guys this week in case they come back for the next week, for their coming weekend. I wouldn't do that.
Trout, yeah, I'm a little bit more optimistic about than Votto. Yeah, you're right. Votto's numbers are bad.
I mean, single-digit home runs. I mean, yeah, he's hitting that.
He's got one homer in 36 games since July 1st. So, to your point, I mean, the numbers are quite bad for Joey Votto, especially if you consider what's expected from the first base pool in fantasy. I'm concerned. I agree with you. Trout, I have a hard time seeing the Angels just shutting him down unless there was some sort of long-term health issue there. I think he is going to come back, but I also don't think there's any reason to rush him back into the lineup. I think they were talking about potentially the next homestand for him the last update I got.
Eric Hosmer is better on the player rater than Joey Votto, and nobody thinks Eric Hosmer is having a good season. CJ Cron's ahead of him. Yuli Gurriel with the lack of power ahead of Votto. Max Muncy, Jerkson Profar, Jose Martinez. These are among the players with a better player rater rank than Votto.
I can't believe Hosmer has a better year than him on the player rater. It's amazing.
Stunning, except if you look at it, Hosmer has 12 home runs and Votto has 8, and Hosmer has 6 stolen bases. Where are you going to rank Votto next season? Is he a top 20 player still? I'm not sure he is.
No, I don't think he's a top 20 player now. I didn't when he was kind of this cold spell. I like the guy a lot. I feel like Votto is the type of player who I'm going to rank most generously in everything that's not our traditional Roto. And in traditional Roto, I think he's more at the top shelf, third, fourth round material.
I wrote about Didi Gregorius today. I'm expecting a DL stint, and it sounds like if he went to the hospital, this could be a while. They can move Gleyber Torres to shortstop, and that'll add eligibility for him for next season. But what do you make of the Gregorius heel situation? I'm not sure I keep him. If they say he's out like 3 or 4 weeks, I think I just move on.
Well, they say he's out 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah, at this point. I mean, you know,
I'm dumping Trevor Bauer. He's
right,
out four
exactly.
to six. And
yeah. And Trevor Bauer is another situation where the Indians have no reason to rush him back. They just want to get his pitch count up for the playoffs. So he's not going to contribute. Didi Gregorius, the other thing we got to keep in mind is that if you're not in a seasonal Roto, you're in a head-to-head league, you just can't afford to be burning bench spots like this.
And this is also a player who hit 10 of his 22 home runs in the first month of the season. You know, so why are you keeping Gregorius for the 4 home runs a month? He does it for average. He's had a good season since the beginning of June, but still not, you know, awesome. You know, and the fly ball rate really dropped. The fly ball rate's in single digits since April ended, like his career rate. I mean,
The what?
Fly ball, home run to fly ball rate.
Oh, right. I'm thinking the fly ball rate itself. That'd
no,
be tough for him to do.
No. That'd be hard to do.
Could you imagine?
That's Lee Gordon. No, home run to fly ball rate. Yes, I meant. Yes. I don't know what I actually said. I don't know what I ever say. Let's move on from these injuries because they're depressing. Like we said, Bauer, you should just move on from Trevor Bauer. That's 4 weeks with 6 to go. I mean, he starts once or twice, and they may even be like 4 or 5 inning outings. It's not worth it. And by the way, I don't think Bauer's going to pitch any less than Yu Darvish this season, the rest of the year. He had a setback over the weekend. I just don't see it. Or maybe Darvish comes back in a relief role like Carlos Martinez is, which is killing me in one of my leagues. I really need Carlos Martinez to make like 30 good starts this season, and he's going to make half of that. Come on. Don't you think like at some point soon we're going to hear Darvish needs Tommy John again? Or like something serious is wrong?
Yeah, I mean, what I would worry about is that if he needed some sort of shoulder reconstruction, that would
be the end.
Well... well, it would be the end of what he was in between the surgeries. And that was the guy you were drafting as a potential top 10 starting pitcher. I'm not sure we're going to see him again on the mound this year.
Why? I agree with you. Why is Chris Davis the good one on the Oakland never a top 50 pick? Shouldn't he deserve that next year? It's going to be his third consecutive season of 40 home runs. Nobody's done that. Nobody has two. And I look at Chris Davis and I looked at his ADP before the season and where each of us ranked him. And obviously he doesn't contribute in batting average and he doesn't steal bases, but this is pretty safe power. We got Giancarlo Stanton going like borderline top 10 and Chris Davis goes 70. Like next year, I think that should be rectified. I'm thinking Chris Davis goes in like round 3 or 4 now, doesn't he? Wouldn't you take him over Votto now?
I can make that case. The batting average comes into play between the two of them, but Davis' power ceiling is higher. I had him 58, and I remember thinking, like, I thought that was generous enough at the time because of the low average.
It's not.
But you're right, it's not. I feel like it's easily two rounds off. The guy is money in the bank for home runs. How many play? I mean, Nelson Cruz is the only other guy who comes to mind as money in the bank getting to that 40 homer threshold. Chris Davis seems to do it every year.
Yeah, he's the number 10 alpha in the player rate, but I don't really care about that right now because I just know I'm getting power. I don't care that he doesn't hit for average or stolen. And it's not like it's Joey Gallo batting average either. I mean,
yeah, it's 259, so it's pretty much 260.
That's good enough.
By the way, look at the park. Look at the park he's doing it in.
Well, I mean, he translates very well in simulation leagues. Let's put it that way.
I'm sure he does.
And I happen to have him in one of those.
I heard Giancarlo Stanton probably does, too, based on the Marlins year.
He's going to hit 80 in our sim league. That's ridiculous.
He really is, yeah.
I was going to reply to that email. Who cares? I'm listening. I was going to reply to that email over the weekend saying, wow, I thought Chris Davis had a shot at MVP in our league. He's going to hit 60 home runs. And I saw Stanton already has 60 with, 24 games to go? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
All right, other stuff we have to get to. Here are the comments. Combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal. Combo, combo. It's a combo meal. Home run plus steal.
Got lots of them. Maybe catchers don't care anymore. Although the Phillies had, six steals in a game against Syndergaard over the weekend? Like, he didn't care at all. Thursday, Ahmed Rosario and David Dahl. That's an interesting name. Friday, Alex Bregman, who I might have in my second round next year, and Eric Hosmer. Saturday, Jonathan Villar, who basically got dumped by a team and bats third for his new team. That tells you about the new team. J.D. Martinez did it. Justin Turner did it. Sunday, Isaac Galloway, the longtime minor leaguer in the Marlins chain. Whit Merrifield and Alex Gordon.
One of these days is not like the others.
Alex Gordon did it. But Whit Merrifield, I didn't think he would hit 20 home runs, but I thought, 14 homers, 30 steals, that's a really valuable player. Whit Merrifield, it goes back to my Amon Rosario example. If a middle infielder can have 14 home runs and 30 steals, and Merrifield's going to pass the steals but not the homers, and hit for average. Now, Rosario may not hit for average, but Merrifield has been a top 50 player this season. He has been. On the player rater, I think he's there.
He's
number
not,
eight
he's
among outfielders. So, I mean, he's
three
ahead of Chris Davis.
Baseman. He is, let's see, he is 32nd overall in the player rater. Yeah.
I mean, I think you really underrated him. I didn't rank him, in my top 50, but he was pretty close for me because I thought 15 homers, 30-plus steals is really valuable in this era.
You know what's tough about Merrifield, and I mentioned it, is Jonathan Villar, who we just mentioned a second ago. I mean, that lesson applied. The difference was I did think Merrifield's hit tool was a little better, that he was safer in batting average. However, I wondered whether pitchers were going to adapt like they did to VR last year, and then he had a pretty bad year, and Merrifield just has not regressed that way. I mean, sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't. I blew it on this guy.
Merrifield's like Dustin Pedroia light. He makes contact. He steals bases. I mean, earlier in Pedroia's career, I like Whit Merrifield. And the Royals' mess around him has not hurt him one bit, even when they bat him third.
Yeah, credit to him for that. That's a good point.
Now, David Dahl is interesting. Now, we have no idea if Colorado is going to play him. In fact, I think in September they're going to play Matt Holliday more than they are David Dahl and Raymel Tapia, which is, hey, they're a first-place team. They can do what they want, right? But Matt Holliday's batting, he's like 400 at AAA. Of course he is. He's like an old guy playing against AAA guys, and he's hitting. And Colorado's going to bring him up on September 1st and play him. They're going to do that.
Oh, boy.
Over Dahl, over Tapia.
Oh, boy.
Maybe not over Desmond, who plays first base. So McMahon will be on the bench. Dahl will be on the bench.
Man.
If I told you next March, and who knows if this show exists, that David Dahl was going to be getting 500 at-bats. I can't tell you that because of his injury history. But if Colorado says David Dahl is going to be our left fielder and bat sixth every day, Give me his numbers.
Well, okay. Now, am I supposed to...
I know,
to,
the injuries, yeah.
No, am I supposed to trust them at their word for that? Or that's... like, they're writing it in permanent ink.
All right, let me tell you, let me say this.
Is that where we're at?
We're next August 20th, 2019, and David Dahl has already gotten 450 at-bats. What are his numbers?
Yeah. No.
I understand what you're doing.
I don't trust the team. I think he's going to have a 265 batting average. I think he's going to have 15-ish homers. I think the steals are probably also going to be in the team. I'll give him 15 homers, 18 steals.
It's like Andrew Benintendi without the batting average and the runs.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I do worry with a player like that the home road swing could be somewhat dramatic. However, there's also great upside from there. There's, unfortunately, also great downside. That's why I asked the question.
I think it's a fair question. Briefly, now we look at the relief pitchers. It's the carousel.
The closer carousel.
Not a good weekend for AJ Minter or the Braves, huh? Hey, look, they might win the division over the Phillies, I like anyway, but whatever. Someone's at the door. Is that my house or yours?
Yeah, that's my house.
Okay, well, you want to stop the show? With Leo for a little while if you want to go get the door. I mean, it's fair.
It's AJ Minter. Opportunity's knocking. Oh wait, that would be the other direction. It's Brad Brock knocking. Oh wait, no,
do
not
you
him
think
either.
Brad Brock gets the next save no. chance for Atlanta?
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
I don't
either.
He didn't pitch well either.
No, he's not good.
I know.
It's like all deception, and it's just not working anymore.
Boy, he's a great example of why you don't invest in relief pitchers in any context, real game, fantasy game, just because, you know, he had that elite stuff, and it's just not been the same for a year and a half now. It's gone. What happened?
I want to write off the Nationals. I'm scared to, but they're like under 500 now. That was embarrassing yesterday. But give me their next save guy. Is it Cota Glover, the Grover the Monster? Calvin Herrera could be off the DL by the time the show happens, or the show gets out. And I don't know about Sean Doolittle. I haven't seen the update on him. But
I have. It's not fun.
Who has the most saves the rest of the season for Washington? I'll say Herrera.
For the rest of the year?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's Doolittle.
Oh, now you think it's Doolittle. What about this week? You think it's Herrera?
Okay. You want the update on Doolittle? Because you're not going to like it.
Why are you telling me?
Because I want to know what your thought is, because I know you don't like players like this. He is trying to adjust his mechanics.
Oh, no, that never
so
works.
He can pitch through the stress fracture in his foot.
That's a bad sign.
And this is the problem I have with it, is that you wouldn't be rushing a guy like this back if you didn't feel like he was in a critical spot. So I could see them throwing him in there. It gets ugly. They rotate it around, and it's something like 4-3-1. Blech.
Would you drop Corey Knebel now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I might too. That looks
except
like
the tout, I have to keep. Oh, goodness.
We always talk ESPN standard, you know, leagues. Okay, like points leagues. Right. Now this is what we're talking about, and right. I actually talk roto leagues mainly. But in ESPN standard 10-teamer, I don't think you can use Corey Knebel anymore. I think Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffress are the closers for Milwaukee.
Yep.
So that stinks.
And Hader's getting a little bit more of the opportunity, which is a nice promising sign if you got him.
Right. Look at this. For the season, I'm on the player rater among relief pitchers. Wade Davis, number 13. Adam Ottavino, number 14. And one of them has all the saves. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, they're consecutive among, relievers.
And one of them spent time on the DL.
That's
so
right.
So think about how remarkable it is that Mr. Ottavino, who did miss time on said DL, is that close to Wade Davis.
Let's take a look at the schedule now, see what's happening. Oh, we got some debuts coming up. All right, so let's just skip right to – well, let's go with today first. ESPN Plus has the Orioles and the Blue Jays, Andrew Cashner and Marco Estrada. I don't want to speak for Tristan, but I don't think he's recommending either of these players. So watch the game, and hopefully a lot of runs will be scored, and maybe the catcher Danny Jansen will do something. We will not be seeing Vlad Jr. in this game. I don't think he's getting the call at all this season. But the Twins are unveiling their lefty Steven Gonsalves. That's against the White Sox and Lucas Giolito, who is kind of inconsistent. What do you think of Gonsalves? I thought he was going to be up last season. I think he's a lefty. He does get strikeouts.
He is.
This is interesting whenever somebody calls up a prospect. Now, in a general sense, and I wrote this about Kopech. I don't want to give that away.
Yeah, don't. Keep burying the lead. You got to.
In a general
condition.
Sense, I do not trust young pitchers when they make their debuts like I do hitters. Not only are they facing far different hitters, but it's a different baseball. And not all these guys can grip it the same way. They have to, you know, maybe adjust their off-speed stuff. But would you use Gonsalves for his two outings this week?
Bingo, the baseball. I like that you brought that up.
It's pretty important.
It's very important. And it is especially so for a pitcher like Gonsalves, who my question is a bit about control. I think there's going to be a slightly longer learning curve for him as a result of that. He, in his past 11 starts, has been exceptional in AAA with Rochester. 1.27 ERA. However, in 63 and two-thirds, he has 30 walks and 54 strikeouts during this hot streak. So some of it is relying on the defense. I like the guy as an ad, but since we buried the lead, I like the other guy quite a bit better.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want guys that are pitching today, I think Derek Holland at the Mets is a better option. Chase Anderson's kind of struggled. Mike Fiers might still be available. You want him, definitely, for sure.
Definitely.
Austin Gomber, first outing of the week is at Dodger Stadium. Okay. Second outing at Coors Field. I can't make much of a case for Austin Gomber, can you?
I can't because of the Coors one, and I watched Gomber pitch in St. Louis the other day, and he had a great game. However, he had the same characteristics he always did, and it's like Gonsalves, another lefty who has control issues, and that's a great comp to throw there based on how the pitcher can struggle, or they could be great right off the bat. Gomber has been, but I worry a little bit about the pitch count. I worry about the fact that Dodgers have some hitters who can get to him. They're patient. I'm leaving him on the sides in a two-start scenario.
All right, speaking of hard throwers without control, we got Michael Kopech of the White Sox, the signature hard thrower in the minors, and has pitched really well of late, avoiding the walks. He opens on Tuesday at home against Jose Barrios and the Twins.
Why are you a hater?
I'm not a hater at all. I just think it's really dangerous to trust a pitcher like this. I mean, his first outing will probably be like five innings, two hits, two runs, four walks, eight strikeouts.
Somebody doesn't like the control of Mr. Kopech, and his control has been exceptional lately.
I just don't know if you can translate that to the major leagues right away. Do you?
No, I your points are entirely fair. I just like the opportunity to finally say you were a hater on a player here.
I'm not hating at all. I love him. I've got him kept in a couple leagues.
But you and I watched him pitch in Arizona a couple of times, and my concern for him is that he has that top shelf velocity, and you saw this. You remember this in the Fall Stars game. That velocity wavers.
He seems
a little bit to me like a max effort guy. Now, we got to throw the minor league numbers since I did for Gonsalves. Past seven starts in AAA, 1.84 ERA, and in 44 innings, he has four walks, and 59 strikeouts. So he's on a monstrous hot streak. These are two better matchups as well.
You activate him for the week?
Absolutely. But your caution you're throwing here is warranted.
Tuesday Night Baseball on ESPN, it's Daniel Ponce de Leon, who's replacing your boy Luke Weaver, which is really interesting and sad.
Ponce de Leon looks pretty good, too, I think.
I like the Sox. At Los Angeles against Hyunjin Ryu. So Ponce de Leon, is he a two-start guy? I'm not sure if they have an off day or not.
They do have an off day last day. But the other thing, too, by the way, he pitched in relief in that was Wednesday's game. So, I guess he's probably not going to have a
What do you do with
count.
Luke Weaver in a dynasty format now? Like, that's disturbing.
Yeah.
Not a good season for him. I mean, even Carlos Martinez isn't in the rotation. Like, I just don't know what St. Louis is going to do next year. They have a lot of options. It's almost like Dodger-like rotation options. But I kind of wonder if Luke Weaver just gets buried in middle relief.
I worry. Yeah, I think he's now forced in a situation to fight for a rotation spot next year. I think what's going to happen is Weaver's probably an odds-on favorite to make the rotation for them as long as the spring is decent. And in keeper formats, the only people who are going to keep him are those who locked him in last year at a cheap price. Anyone who bought in this year is going to pass.
Yeah, Wednesday Night Baseball, Cardinals and Dodgers again. Jack Flaherty, who's been very good, and Walker Buehler, who's also very good. I don't think neither one of them is going to win Rookie of the Year because Acuna's a monster. But they're both very good. Who would you rather have in the future, dynasty purposes, Flaherty or Buehler?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think it is.
I think I'm going to go with Buehler, but is that a good question?
I don't know if I would or not. I think I need to see more.
Durability.
How do you know either of them won't be? I mean, I don't know that.
Buehler hasn't shown us the hefty workloads as a pro yet. That's the only reason I raised the question. But you're right. I shouldn't be critical of young pitchers at this stage. Flaherty's
great.
Yeah, Flaherty's really interesting.
Today's Hash Browns are brought to you by Ballpark Buns. If you're not out grilling, then someone is out grilling you. And that's why you need Ballpark Buns in your lineup. It's like having a number one draft pick at every backyard barbecue. And who doesn't want that? After all, Ballpark hot dog and hamburger buns rank as America's favorite buns, delivering fresh taste and outstanding flavor with every bite. Head over to ballparkbuns.com to see the whole roster, from Ballpark's golden hamburger and hot dog buns baked with a touch of honey to the oversized Tailgaters gourmet hamburger and brat buns that really let you pile on the flavor. Need a home run recipe to spark your grilling genius? Ballparkbuns.com has got you covered there, too, with recipes for zesty blue cheese burgers, hearty chili cheese dogs, guacamole turkey burgers, and so much more, and I'm very hungry. We've also got a blog full of tips and tricks to level up your grilling game and tailgating talent. Get all this goodness and more, including the Ballpark Buns product finder, at ballparkbuns.com. That's ballparkbuns.com, home of America's favorite buns. Yes, I'm very hungry right now.
That's the issue with reading that.
I'm going to throw mustard and ketchup all over it.
No mustard.
What is your problem with mustard?
Guacamole turkey burgers. How awesome would that be right now?
Yes. That would be pretty good, too. That would be pretty good, too.
No mustard.
Yuck. Really?
Okay. Yuck.
All right. I hope you had a good weekend. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Did you?
Yeah. It's all going okay. You know, football's here. It is what it is. And
what is a football?
It's big. And by the way, today is Mock Draft Monday at ESPN Fantasy, which means people like Tristan and I will be mock drafting periodically during the day. So check out on Twitter when we send out the link. And we have a full staff of people, very talented people, more than us. And they will be in there and they will be drafting as well. All right, let's get to some baseball questions here. What do we got? Eduardo writes, given the lack of depth at catcher, would it be crazy to just not roster a catcher next year in a one-catcher league and use the roster spot to stash a prospect or a pitcher? Ooh, I think you're going to have a problem with that one, aren't you?
I hate it from a league ethics standpoint, but
it is legal. It's legal.
It is, and I'm doing it in my head-to-head league where I had Gary Sanchez, and what's out there is garbage compared to using that spot to stream starters.
These people have families, Tristan. They have parents. I mean, come on. Don't call
it garbage. I didn't call that any individual name.
You're saying basically catchers are garbage. That's going to be like trending on Twitter. I'm going to make it a hashtag. Tristan hates catchers. That's a hashtag.
I didn't
call them garbage.
Name names.
You know, I mean, people call us that. And worse.
Name names. I'm doing this. I don't have a right to complain. I mean, my league allows it. It's a wise strategy.
But you don't
strategy.
Start a season doing this. I think the question that Eduardo wants to know is, would you do that to start the season and then like stash away somebody else? Like Kopech probably, well, now he probably makes the roster. But like, just go without a catcher for a full season? You would do that? I don't think you would do that.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you threw Kopech's name. I could throw Eloy Jimenez's name. I could throw Vlad Jr.'s name out there. And, I mean, exactly what do those guys contribute if you use that spot to stash the player? I bet that you're going to corner yourself into a spot to let that player go and pick up somebody else later. Whereas on the draft, at the draft day, at the draft table, you could take the 10th catcher at the end of your draft. And the value he gives you over the 4 months that have passed are going to be greater than any prospective stats from these prospects.
In a one-catcher league, I do not punt catcher. I at least
try. Right.
But let me just read you something interesting here, okay? I'm looking at the top 10 catchers for the season on the Player Rater. Now, Buster Posey and his 5 home runs, which Acuna did in a 4-day span. Buster Posey's number 6 for the season. I got into a debate with one of our friends the other day about Posey's value because he said, oh, I spent like $20 on him in an auction. I'm like, well, he ain't worth that anymore. Not with 5 home runs and 40 RBI with 6 weeks to go. I don't care if he's hitting .350, which he's not. But Real Muto, Molina, Gattis, Grandal, Ramos, Posey, Sal Perez, Wilson Contreras. That's the top 8 catchers for the season. You'll never guess who the number 9 catcher for the season is an ESPN's Player Rater. You just won't.
Well,
you didn't even know he was a catcher, most of us.
I absolutely did know he's a catcher, and we've mentioned him a couple times. However, I wouldn't have guessed he was number 9 on the player.
But that's pathetic. That's absolutely pathetic. That means there's only 8 catchers even worth rostering. So if you're one of those teams that doesn't have one of those 8 catchers, then maybe you should punt it. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa of Texas, and I don't think he'll have catcher eligibility next year. But
I think he'll get there.
Did he play 20?
I think he's going to get there. He's their backup catcher, and they're going tandem right now.
Oh, okay.
I think he's got a shot at it. If he's not there already, I'll look it up.
Bad position. I mean, I had Kurt Suzuki in the league all season, and I didn't win the league. I'm not saying he's the reason, but he didn't help.
This is the other thing where I mentioned the point grades that our player rater gives, that what the formula spits out for Acuna a minute ago. This is relevant to catcher. If you look at what the catcher grades are, especially for Kiner Falefa, I think it was like 1 point something. JT Realmuto, who is the number one catcher, has a grade of 4.61. That makes him 123rd overall on the player rater.
Yeah, and why are you going to rank him 70th next year? Like usually
I'm
you
not.
Rank.
Oh,
who's going to rank
not.
As the top catcher? Gary Sanchez. I might rank Realmuto. I'm going to see.
Okay. I could see Realmuto.
Why would
see
you
Contreras.
Rank Contreras? I saw your rankings on Contreras. I don't get it. He has 9 home runs and he's batting .269. What are you seeing that I don't? Why do you like him so much?
I'm seeing a catcher who can play, who's got an arm and a little bit of pop, but.
I mean, he's not having a good season at all, and he's young enough where he should be having a good season.
Give me the catchers having a good season.
Realmuto's having a great season. Yadier Molina's having a great season. Gattis, Grandal, Ramos, I think is the number one catcher for what, batting average and on base?
I'll give you Realmuto. I don't know that I give it to you for Posey or for...
I mean, Yadier Molina has 15 home runs and he's batting .275. That's not a great season,
yeah.
Okay? That's
yeah.
not a top 100 season. My point is, I'm not going to rank a catcher in my top 100. If I do, it would be Sanchez or Realmuto. But like you said, Realmuto's having this great season and he's still not a top 100 player on the player rater. It's worthless. Don't do it. Don't rank catchers in your top 100.
Kiner Falefa, by the way, has 20 games of catcher, so he will qualify next season.
Right. And second
and third. Yeah, nicely done. By the way, so I'm going to throw cold water on Yadi Molina now because
Why?
It needs to be said. Look at the grades on the player rater. They are barely above zero.
Oh, I just said I'm not going to rank him in my top 100.
Right, but he's done this while playing roughly 95% of the innings at catcher since the All-Star break. I mean, this guy's being used extremely. He's doing it with volume, and still the numbers are ordinary.
You know, volume's important. You know, Atlanta's basically platooning their catchers, their right-handed hitting catchers every other day.
Right.
You know when they're
going
to play, and neither one of them can do anything.
Now, the seasonal thing, I will admit, the DL stint did eat a little bit of a chunk from that, but I'm saying that this is the worst I've seen catcher.
I've never seen catcher this bad. And I think my point here is no catcher will be in my top 100 rankings for 2019. Not Sanchez, not Realmuto. Those are the only guys I would consider. I don't think Posey belongs there. I don't think Contreras belongs there anymore.
I'd agree with you. But, however, we're talking about our standard game, the 10-teamer.
Our standard game. That'll be the top four.
12-team, two catchers.
Molina might be five. Gattis won't be a catcher anymore. So Gattis won't be
right.
catcher eligible. Grandal will be right there. Ramos.
Yep.
Ramos will be on another team.
12-team, two catcher, your first catcher. Where
All
is
right.
he?
We should probably answer some other questions.
No, where is he? Where's 12-team, two catchers? Where's your first catcher?
12-team.
Two catcher. We will have a draft like this shortly after the year. I'm quite certain of it. Where are you taking that first catcher? Well, where should
I'm
he be
not.
Ranked?
Well, I'll say this. It's not like quarterback. I still wouldn't take Realmuto or Sanchez over a better player. Like, you know, like people were taking Gary Sanchez over the good Chris Davis this year. That's ridiculous in retrospect. I won't take a catcher in my top 100, even in a two-catcher league. I won't do it.
I agree. I don't feel good about doing it either, but I also
think the demands of the position are too tough.
The great danger of being the guy who takes 23 and 24 in a two-catcher league.
So I end up with Suzuki and Yan Gomes. It won't help me. Like, in labor, I have two $1 catchers. Hey, one of them is Devin Mesoraco. I got a dollar's worth of value out of Devin Mesoraco and in a 12-team NL only. I absolutely did.
You know what's scary? I'm not sure you'd get them at 23-24. That's how bad I think catcher is. It's possible you won't.
All right. Wentley, can you rank your levels of confidence on these third basemen? Justin Turner, Miguel Andujar, Jed Lowry, and Matt Chapman. Levels of confidence. I guess that's for the rest of the season. I mean, Turner had a great weekend. I'm pretty confident in him. He's hitting for some power. Andujar, I'm really surprised. I mean, he's going to end up with, like, he's already at 20 home runs. I mean, this is like a 26 homer, 90 RBI guy. Did you expect that out of Andujar?
Yeah, borderline
Lowry.
Candidate for Rookie of the Year.
Right. I mean, you can make the case that over Torres.
Yep. Lowry. It's competitive in the American League, unlike Acuna in the NL.
Yeah, well, Soto. I mean, really, it's kind of competitive until Acuna blew it out of the water the past 2 weeks.
Right.
Soto would win going away in the American League. Lowry has not stopped hitting, and yep. Matt Chapman is that proverbial, like, 30-homer, 90 RBI, gold glove-winning third baseman, right? I mean, that's what he is.
Non-batting average Nolan Arenado.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's where the ceiling resides, but confidence level. Okay, so let's do it.
The rest
one by
of the
one.
Season, I would say I'm confident in all of them, really. I mean, and I'm surprised I'm confident in Turner's power. I'm surprised Andujar's kept doing this, but he's not going to stop. And without, you know, several important bats in the lineup, he can bat. He's batting cleanup and Duhar.
Right. You know, the levels, though, of the four.
At 1 out of 10, Turner, I'd say a 9. And Duhar, I'd say like a 7.5. Lowry, about a 7. Matt Chapman, I like 9.
The A's, I will throw a 7.5 at Chapman, and I will throw about a 6.5 at Lowry. Just the track record there, but I'm with you. All those rank as very confident. We should be.
I agree. Oh, this one's good. Matt, where do you see Nick Markakis being ranked next season? He's the number 13 outfielder on the player radar for the entirety of the season. He's basically tied with Bryce Harper. Nick Markakis, Bryce Harper, Justin Upton all have the same player rater value. Now, Markakis' value is basically in batting average, 318. He does have 80 runs batted in, but the home runs just fell off the board after the first month. He does, you know, score 90 runs, 85, 90 runs. Nobody's going to rank Markakis as a top 20 outfielder or a top 100 player, though.
Nope.
Will he be a top 40 outfielder? Would you rather have for next year Nick Markakis or Michael Brantley?
Brantley. Because of the speed.
Markakis or David Peralta? I guess we're playing a name game of sorts here.
We didn't even get to hear the lovely sound.
Well, you can't hear two sounds at once. That would make people's heads like.
Well, I could just sing it. That's how we play the name game. I'd rather have Peralta.
Yeah, Markakis is not going to be a top 40 outfielder. Will we rank him?
All credit due to Markakis for what he's done this season, but that's another guy who I in a traditional roto sense, I'm going to have to do some deep dives here. I am.
I don't think the
hard contact rate's better, but other than that, everything else looks very ordinary.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I think he'll get in the top 50 outfielders.
Top 50.
He will get and should get drafted in a standard
but
league.
Maybe he shouldn't, Tristan, because if he goes back to hitting 280 next year with 9 home runs and 60 RBI, then he's not worth owning in any league.
This is very true.
And that's what he's been in the second half of the season. A better batting average.
And this is why I think he's going to end up being one of those last picks. I think he's going to be in that 200 to 250 range and around 50 among outfielders. In other words, the last guy you draft. And he's only going to make sense for the person who took some big chances in the middle rounds. And needs stability at the end.
William writes, the power for Hunter Renfro seems to be back. Do you think his September slash line can come close to matching his August line? Still available in more than 80% of ESPN leagues. I believe Hunter Renfro, if he's not a top 10 outfielder over the past month, he's close to it. Showing his power, he's still a lot of swing and miss to his game. That doesn't help. But I could see Hunter Renfro being a guy with 30 home runs. I mean, he should be doing that. What are you doing with Hunter Renfro?
He's got that kind of power. That's his
it's
game.
Legit power.
Yep. There's not much else to his game at all, including the defense.
Well, that's not very nice. You're kind of mean today. I was totally wrong. He's 28 among outfielders over the past 30 days, so maybe he's missed
some time.
His run is over the past like 2 weeks or something. But, you know.
So this is what I like about Hunter Renfro is that this week the San Diego Padres play.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the 10-day one. They play 3 games at Coors to begin the week, and then granted they face 3 against the Dodgers against the tough lefties, but that results in 5 left-handed starting pitchers.
He's the number 6 outfielder on the player radar for the past 15 days. That's what I was looking at.
Okay.
That's still pretty good. Ahead of Mookie, ahead of Chris Davis, ahead of Harper.
He'll run hot and cold, and I love the matchup this week, so stay with a bet on hot stats.
Man, Harper, the Nationals could have traded Harper, Murphy, the relievers. They're under 500 without trading anybody. Except
hey,
like
they get
Kinsler.
Strasburg back on Wednesday, so it's all fixed.
Are you activating Strasburg? Who would you rather have this week, Strasburg or Kopech?
Well, Kopech gives you 2 starts, so I'm going to speculate there.
In theory, he does.
Oh, right. Yeah, so everybody should know about this one. The White Sox, Rick Renteria says they're going to go with a 5-man rotation. So who
I'm not
goes?
So sure.
Yeah, he hasn't announced it yet. They could go with a 6-man. You're correct, yeah.
Anyway, Renfro, who would you rather draft next season, Renfro or Markakis? That's a fair question. Because one of them is going to hit 28 home runs and the other is going to hit 8.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the question is great Renfro. for our standard game. If it's anything else, it's Markakis by a lot.
No, what do you mean?
If it's anything but our traditional game, anything but the standard roto, you bring in walks or any other things like that or points, it's going to be Markakis.
But as your fifth outfielder in a standard league next year, wouldn't you want the upside of Renfro figuring it out and being like a 30-homer, 270 guy?
Probably, yeah. But I will be honest that at the end, I probably am going to want option C.
Nobody's going to draft Markakis next year. Nobody.
I'm not sure either. We'll get drafted in a 10-teamer.
All right, and then here's the last one. Kevin writes, Pablo Lopez, with the high forecaster ranking this week for his two starts, do you feel confident in his ability to help, or is it more a volume play? So you did the ranking on Pablo Lopez. Now, I look at your rankings from time to time, and I say, and I make decisions based on them as well, and sometimes I just don't get it. But you feel confident in Pablo Lopez. Please tell us why.
Not really. The computer does. But I did not.
But you can move that around. He's number 31 among starting pitchers for the week. And I got to tell you, just fear Mike Fiers, Eovaldi, Carrasco. I cannot fathom using Carlos Carrasco, sitting Carlos Carrasco for Pablo Lopez.
So, yeah, this was a tough one. I do have a little tweak that I do if I don't like the matchups here. He's averaging a 51 game score, so he's already pitching at a league average level against general opponents. The forecaster likes the Yankee matchup because of the K's in it, and it's not as scared of the lineup with Aaron Judge out. The thing that puzzled me was with that in the Braves game. I don't know. I probably should have pushed him down a little bit further here, but he has very good control and he gets ground balls, and I believe they are two home games. That also helps.
Check out Tristan's forecaster. It's a lot of work, and it's really, really good. It projects starting pitchers not just for this week, but for the next 10 days, hitter matchup ratings, his observations. It takes a long time to do, and it's like the best thing we do in fantasy baseball, and that includes what you just listened to. Thank you so much for everything you do for that and for Leo for posting it. All right, well, the music stopped, so I guess we're done. Any final thoughts here? What are we watching this week? I mean, obviously the DL player, Jose Altuve, can come back off the DL tomorrow. The Trout update, I fear that. I hope he's activated for this Friday, but I fear he may not be.
Yep.
Kopech is a must-watch on Tuesday.
Yep.
The races are fun. Anything else I missed here that you're looking out for?
I want to see the Braves put up a pretty good week. Sorry. I like the matchups they have overall. The only thing I don't like about the Braves schedule for this week is they're going to Miami this weekend, and Urania is scheduled to pitch. I hate it.
Okay.
I think they do have some great matchups on both the pitching and hitting side, so I think it's a very big Braves week. Spotlight on them.
All right, that's all for today. Thank you so much for listening to our little show. Remember, the Fantasy Football Podcast is a daily show this month for the rest of the months of the season of the year. So please listen to that and give our colleagues some love. Today's Mock Draft Monday as well, and there'll be another mock draft that we will post later in the week. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in a couple days. Have an awesome couple days.
Everything is awesome.
Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at espnradio.com.